I heard this a while back, but you know, even these little things that we see along the way and learn along the way, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance things, you know, maybe a word, an encouragement. The God within you is greater than the giant in front of you. And it's about perspective. It's about having a heaven gaze, amen, and seeing the largeness, seeing the awesomeness, the immensity, the greatness of our God. We exalt thee. We exalt thee, Lord. The psalmist said, I exalt thee, O God, above the heavens. You know, he is the great God. He is the God of all creation. And all things are sustained by the word of his power. As God spoke, let there be light, there was light. This is the God that we serve. He is the awesome God. Amen. The El Elyon, the most high God. This is the God that we serve. So when we understand and magnify who he is in reality, even when we align our conversation and our thoughts to agree with what is true about God, then we are coming into agreement with him. You understand? Your mind has to be brought into agreement with what is true about who God really is. So your spirit and your mind have to be one, and then you're whole. When your thinking is in agreement with what God is thinking and saying, amen, then you're whole. If I say one thing, think a different thing, then I am unholy. I'm fragmented, right? Holiness is integration. It means that what I think, what I say, what I do, all agrees. So it is with the Father. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're always in perfect agreement and harmony. And he is holy. So we want to be like our Father. So we're bringing our understanding. Amen. We're being renewed in our minds to come into agreement what is true. All right? And he is true. So our minds have been corrupted, have been polluted by this world and the things of this world. And our thinking needs to be reformed in a sense. It needs to be transformed. Amen? So that now my thoughts are in agreement with what is true. And anything that's not agreeing with what is true, I have to take captive to the obedience of Christ. So this is how the devil does it. He tells you that God is weak and your problem is bigger than God. Because he wants you to put more faith in the problem that he's caused than in the God who is the solution. So he wants us to focus on the problem. Because if we're focusing on the problem will always magnify. It will become bigger. But if we set our affections on things above, when the superior reality of the kingdom, amen, and the Lord himself, who is exalted above all, who has the name above all names, amen, whose power is limitless, he's the God who we trust. He's the God who we confide in. He's the God who we call on. Amen. What is this puny problem in comparison to our almighty God that we serve? You see, faith is believing that God is. That means you have to have an understanding of who God really is before you can trust him. And often we are trusting in our own experiences in life. We use that as the watermark of how our lives will go. We live according to the lies that have been told us and things that people have spoken over us. You know what I'm talking about? And if we are in agreement with the lie, if we start to believe I'm stupid, I'm a nobody, I'm this, I'm that, then that's what your reality will become. That's what you'll actually live as you think, as you believe, so it will be unto you. That's why Jesus says, according to your faith, let it be unto you. If you have faith, you can move a mountain. Amen. He said, so let's trust. Let's get our, I say this a lot, but let's get our eyes out of the chicken yard. Amen. And let's get a heaven gaze. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, I think of that as a servant is in a sense is waiting on his master too. And a state of readiness. It's not just waiting around for hopefully something. It's just being prepared in your heart, waiting on God, waiting on the Lord to speak, and waiting on the Lord because His Word is life. And He begins to speak and He strengthens us. He sends His Word and He heals us. So we want to get into that place where we have right gaze. We're focused on Him. Because the world is screaming at you. All day long you're hearing these voices, these messages, these texts, these things the media throws out at you, and all these distractions to get you focusing in the wrong place. Because you will become like that which you behold. How often you can look at a person, take a young person for example. They may have some kind of celebrity star idol in their life. And they just wish they could be like that person. And they're listening to their music and they're beholding the way that they dress and they conduct themselves. And because they are gazing and they are, if you will, dwelling on that. The next thing you know, they start to dress like, act like, talk like, look like this thing that they worship. And I say thing. See, we got to get our eyes off the world, don't we? Get our eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. And look full, just like the moon has to reflect the sun. The greater the fullness of the moon is dependent upon how much it's gazing upon the sun. Amen? If you want to be the light of the world, you're going to have to behold He who is the light of the world. It's your gaze, where you focus. If you have a good focus, if your eye is single, Jesus said, if your eye is healthy, your whole being will be filled with light. If you're beholding Jesus, looking full into His face, if you will. That means that we're not just seeking what God will give us. Amen? Like a servant will just simply want whatever the master is going to offer. But as sons and daughters, we want to look into the face of our Father and behold Him, to know Him. The Father will take care of our needs, but seek Him. Seek the kingdom above everything else. And He'll take care of what you have need of. But so often we're just seeking His hand but not His face. God give me, God give me. And so often when people get what they ask for, they forget God. We beg God for a job, we beg God for this, for that. And you finally get what you've been begging for, and now where's God? You see, it's no different than you and I wanting to give good gifts to our children. Why do we give good gifts to our children? So they'll just love the gift and forget all about you? No. You want your child to see the heart of the giver of that gift. Amen? You want your children to see how much you love them. And you just want to lavish this gift upon them. Amen? So it is with our Father. We got to get beyond just the hand. Amen? And behold Him, the person. To have a relationship with our Father. That's what it's all about, because that's where life is. Life is not practicing religion, not going to church and doing some ritual, some routine, few songs, a sermonette, go home, forget all about it. But life is walking with Jesus Christ. It's a life filled with Him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Well, we are the body of Christ. You know, if Christ is in you, then you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And as the temple of the Holy Spirit, we are to be an expression of the Father's heart in this world. You know, we will behold Him, and as we behold Him, we will reflect Him. You know, if you say, well, this is too much, what God is asking me to do is too much for me to do, it just means that you're, well, don't get offended, but you're too full of yourself. Because God is saying it's not something you can do apart from me. So God wants to bring us to a place where we depend upon His grace to do what He's called us to do, which is bigger than you and I. I can't do this thing, amen, that God calls me to do apart from His grace. And likewise, we all together are here to help each other, to equip, to strengthen, to encourage, to build the body of Christ, to equip the church so that the church can do its mission in the world. And that is to be the Father's expression. Amen. We are to love people. We are called to love and we are called to service. When we are born again to a brand new life and a purpose and a mission in this world that requires the ability that only God can provide for us to do. There are a lot of Christians who do Christian things, but they do it in their own strength and their own wisdom. And how many know that that amounts to zero? You can be busy, busy, busy doing Christian things, teaching Sunday school, doing all this stuff, but if it's not of God and from God, it amounts to zero. It's going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to be burned up works. Amen. What we want to do is discover the will of God, the purpose of God for our lives, and live out the purpose for which we were created and placed here. And we are to be the light. We are to be the salt in this world. Amen. You cannot legislate righteousness. I don't care how you voted. And I think we should vote. We should be involved in the political process. But how many know that Donald Trump is not going to make America great again? Only God can make America great again. Amen. Now, if he's being led of the Spirit, when we should be praying for him that he is, then he can make America great. Amen. As God's people do the right thing and get right with God. It's not going to happen until God's people get right with their Father. So I want to just take this message from last week into part two, and it's in the spirit of Elijah, a spirit of power and boldness that comes upon the church. Remember, John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah, and he was the forerunner to Christ, and he was the one that said, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, a highway for our God. Jesus was coming on the scene, and he was there heralding the coming of the Messiah, amen, in the first time that Jesus showed up. And so the day of the Lord is mentioned throughout the scripture, but there's actually two days of the Lord. The first one was the coming of the Messiah as the Christ child born in Bethlehem. Amen. His first coming as a suffering servant to die on the cross for our sins. And the second coming of the Lord, the second day of the Lord mentioned in scripture, is the coming of the Lord in power. Amen. In great power. As the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he shall rule over the nations. Amen. He shall establish his throne in Jerusalem, and he shall reign over all the earth. Jesus is going to literally come, and his feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives. And so right now, we have a mission. We've been called. We've been commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are to teach people to observe everything that the Lord taught us. Now the Lord told his disciples, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Amen. And so he said, now I want you guys, and the Great Commission, he said, I want you to teach everybody to observe everything. Not just some things, but everything I taught you. So we look at the example of Jesus. We look at the example of the disciples and what they did. And we say, my life is supposed to look like that. I'm supposed to do the same things that Jesus did. I'm supposed to live like Jesus in this world. And in the day of judgment, I will have confidence. Because as he was in this world, so are we. Do you understand? We have our gaze heavenward. We are living for eternity. We're not making this world our eternal home. Amen. Here we have no continuing city, but we look for one to come wherein dwelleth righteousness. The Lord will come and establish his rule. And that rule will be established literally on the earth, but it has to first be established, hear me, in your heart. If you're going to rule with him, he must be ruling in you. Now. So if you're going to rule with him then, he must be ruling in you now. Do you get it? See, a lot of people will say, I'm a Christian and yeah, I go to church and I do this and I do that. And they may even do a lot of good activities. But the real question is he Lord of your life? Are you obeying his voice? And today I want to kind of integrate worship into the will of God, how that works together and giving us a revelation and understanding of our purpose in this world. And the song that I used last week, I'm going to sing it again. Well, I may not sing it, but it's a song by Kalani Glockler. It's called God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Elohim Adonai, God who answers by fire. Glorify your son, Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. Breathe on us. Send us out in the spirit of Elijah. How many know that you and I are the forerunners now preparing the way for the coming of Jesus? The church. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be what? Acts 1:8. Witnesses unto me. The sick are healed, the blind can see, the cripples dance, the demons flee. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. The dead are raised, the deaf can hear. As we proclaim the kingdom's here, at the name of Jesus, every tongue will shout. Now, don't be surprised if we do this next week. Because they're going to resurrect this song. I just love it. We used to do it all the time. But God is recalibrating, refocusing us as a body. Amen? And we're entering into a season right now where we're just going to just be reaching out like never before. We have a short window. We have an opportunity because the night is coming when no man shall work. So let us who are of the day be sober-minded. Amen? Be focused, be aware, be watchful that the Lord is coming and he's coming for those who are looking for him. Are you looking for the coming of Jesus? Are you ready to meet the Lord today? And so it was prophesied by the prophet Malachi, chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. So this is talking about his second coming. When the Lord is actually going to renovate the earth by fire this time. The day of grace is quickly coming to a close. Now, today, is the day of salvation. Today, you can be saved. Today, you can call upon his name and be rescued. Today is the day to get on the ark of safety, who is Christ Jesus. Because the flood is coming. This time, it's not going to be by water. Amen. And you see the signs. God said, pay attention to what's happening in the earth. There's going to be wars, rumors of wars, you know, earthquakes in various places. There's going to be pestilence, all kinds of disease and things happening. You know, he said, when you see these things, then know that it's at the door. Time is getting close to the coming of the Lord. So we have to be preparing ourselves, but we also have to be in readiness to teach, to preach, to proclaim the kingdom's here. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will shout. There is no one like our God. There is no one like Jehovah. Now, Jesus referred to John the Baptist as Elijah the prophet. But he also hinted that the spirit of Elijah would come again before he returns. We read that in Matthew 17:10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? Jesus answered and said to them, indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already. You see the difference there. Two Elijahs, if you will. And they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands. This was his first coming. He came as a suffering servant. Now, the Jewish people have had some controversy over these subjects because they look in the scriptures and they see Jesus or the Messiah as being a suffering servant. But they have also seen him as a ruling king that's coming to deliver them. And when Jesus came the first time, they thought that he was going to establish his rule then. But he didn't come for that purpose. He came as Redeemer. He came to redeem us. He came to pay the price for sin. He came as a suffering servant. And so in some circles, they actually believe that there's two messiahs. There was the suffering servant messiah, and then there was the reigning king messiah. And what we need to understand is it's speaking of the same Jesus. This same Jesus, as you've seen go up into heaven, will come again in like manner. He's coming, amen, to rule. He's coming to reign. He's not coming to be mocked, to be spitten upon, to be scourged, to be insulted. He's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. And every knee will bow in that day. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will confess now what we believe in our heart, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. To the glory of God the Father. I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus shall come. Amen. Why? Because this world is not my home. How about you? You try to make heaven out of this place, you'll be disappointed. Because it's not heaven. Amen. You reach in there to grab one of them luscious blackberries and whoa. You get a reminder, right? This ain't heaven. I don't think there's going to be any thorns in heaven. There'll be no more curse. Amen? In fact, there'll be no more curse on the earth because it'll be heaven on earth when Jesus comes. But you know, a lot of our theology has been focused on, get me out of here, God. And God says, no, I want you to call me in. I want you to pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. So we want to see his kingdom here. And the day will come when he will literally appear. Now, I believe that there is a deliverance for those who are ready. I believe there is a thing called a rapture. I don't want to get into it today. But I believe that Jesus is coming for a bride, his church that has been ready. And he's going to call his bride out just like he promised us in John 14. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is coming to gather his people, to take his bride to be with him. And then he will pour out his wrath on the world of the ungodly and those who refuse the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, the gospel is going out. The love of the truth is being spoken, is being preached around the world, and there are people that are responding and there are people who are rejecting. And those who reject the love of the truth, God says he will send them strong delusion. And do we not see a strong delusion coming upon the people today? A blindness that is just staggering, how blind people are to the reality. And it's because of rebellion and an unwillingness to yield to the Spirit of God. See that you do not resist him who speaks from heaven. So these two different days of the Lord are spoken of in Scripture. Now, why was Elijah sent? Elijah was sent because Israel had become idolatrous and they were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping Satan. Do we see anything different today? Amen. Everybody wants to worship the devil now. You know, it's Baal worship, you know. And so Elijah was raised up to preach repentance. For the people to turn away from the idols, amen, and from Baal worship to the living God. And so there was a showdown on Carmel where God manifested his glorious power, amen, and proved to the people that he was the true God. And that's when Elijah said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known today that you are God. And God rained down fire upon the sacrifice. You remember, amen, and the prophets of Baal were defeated. Even though they cried out all day long, cutting themselves, crying upon their God was not able to do anything. Why? Because the Spirit of Elijah was present. Because the Spirit of the Lord was upon this prophet. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord was, the enemy was messed up. I like that way that sounded. But do you understand, folks, that we need to understand the greatness, the bigness of our God who dwells in us, who lives in us, who has authorized us, who has given us authority in his name to rule. Amen? And to speak with kingly authority, to command demons to go, and they must obey in Jesus' name. But if the devil can to speak to you and get you to believe he's somehow bigger, or the problem is bigger, you know, if you look at the news today, the whole focus is fear. And next thing you know, we're just living in fear. When are they going to drop the bomb? Hey, come on. We win. If they drop the bomb, which just means we're going to be with Jesus. That can't be all that bad. How many know that God can spare your life if He wants to? He can pluck you out just like He did Philip and move you. I'm not worried about that. They tried to kill John and he couldn't, Apostle John, they couldn't do it. God says, not his time. Sorry, boys. You can't boil him in oil, but you're not going to kill this man. I've got a purpose for him. So why should we worry about anything? He said, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. How many have found yourself doing that, though? What's going to happen if the economy collapses? What's going to happen? The lights go out. You know, God will show us. God will reveal Him. My suggestion to all of us here, folks, is just get as close to Jesus as you can. Because He's our safety. Amen? I mean, when your soul is at rest, no matter what happens to you externally, even the body they may kill. Amen? But if your soul is at rest with God, you have peace. You're not worried. You're not in fear. So don't listen to the fear mongers. Amen? Because sensationalism sells. So people are like, they're capitalizing on all this stuff because they get money, you know, for you tuning into their news networks and feasting on the fear. And what does fear do? Well, it will trump your faith. All of a sudden, this stuff is bigger than God. How many know that God can handle Iran? He can handle North Korea? He's not up there chewing his nails saying, oh my, what's that little fat boy going to do? If God at any time, He could just go, ping, problem solved. But God has a purpose in everything. He's working things, amen? And He's preparing a people, a bride, to be ready for Him. So we'll be ready. How many are going to be ready for Jesus? Amen. So don't get caught up in the stuff of the world. Amen. It's good to be aware. We know we're living in the last days, but this should be more of an incentive for us to get busy about our Father's business. We're called to proclaim the kingdom as Elijah did with boldness and power. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 2:1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I shared with you last week how Paul, he had all the education, all the credentials, he had all the attaboys, you know, that he could have possibly gained. And yet, when he came to see Jesus and met Jesus, he said, man, compared to knowing Him, it's nothing. I was with you, he said, in weakness. Here's a man that was all confident. He was a zealous man for God. He was doing God a favor by persecuting Christians. How many know that zeal isn't always a sign of being right? Somebody say amen. Amen. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. And he said, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. Now, could have Paul spoken that way? Yes. He could have persuaded men, but he determined not to know anything among them except Christ and Him crucified. And what he wanted to do is take people from trusting in their ability in obeying the rules to bringing them into a place where they realize that they don't have what it takes to overcome and to live a life that is holy, so that they will divorce themselves and say, I don't trust me anymore. I'm turning to Jesus. The only help I have is in Him. Into a relationship. But in demonstration, he said, my speech and preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. For what reason? Verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Folks, I am challenged by this in my own life, because you know, after you learn so much stuff, get so much information, you can wow people with what you know, but that ain't going to save anybody. You can quote scriptures all day long and it can fall on deaf ears. People's hearts can be unchanged unless it's delivered in the power of the Holy Spirit. That makes the difference. And as His people, we absolutely must be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must rely upon the ability that only God supplies. No longer trusting in our own ability to persuade people, to win an argument. I listen to some debates sometimes and they are so unedifying. You know, they may even win the debate against somebody that's a non-believer, but that person's not getting saved. Why? Because there's been nothing tangible in that except information exchange. But when God shows up like He did on Mount Carmel, amen, and the enemy is defeated, obviously defeated, God shows up in signs and wonders and miracles, now the skeptics, now they're silenced. Now what do? Because, you know, we trust in our own wisdom. We trust in our own intellects. We think if I can just get another Bible study, another scripture, another tape. Well, we don't do tapes anymore. Another CD, you know. I get a little more education. I trust me. Get educated. Amen. Get the word. But don't put your faith in your ability, amen, to remember and quote scripture. Because it's not going to be of you. Or me. It has to be of the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will bring to your remembrance what you need in that hour. Amen. When you are challenged, you're put on the spot. Amen. Elijah, all he could do is say, God, help. And he called on the God of Elijah. And God answered. And the enemy was defeated. And the argument was over. You understand that this gospel is not in word only, but in power. And as God's people, we have an obligation to function in the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do this apart from Him. And you know, Paul said, I think it was Paul, he said, knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies. And sometimes, you know, we can get proud of what we know. But as soon as we get proud, we have no grace. We can wow people with what we know, but do we have substance? And substance is Christ in us and through us. But that life of Christ is only released through a vessel that is not full of self, but yielded to Him. So if we make it about us, and I've seen it too many times, especially in Pentecostal circles, where we make this stuff about us and our name, and we want to put our name and our label on it, and we want people to see us and say, wow, aren't you the great power of God? And we could sell books and tapes and get rich. Many have. But we're not here, amen, to market the gospel. We freely receive and we freely give, and we do it out of a sense of, Lord, I owe You my life. I owe You for what You've done for me, and it's my great privilege and honor to serve You the rest of my life. And I want to be a vessel that is humble, a vessel that is yielded, a vessel that is available, and a vessel that You'll work through, amen, so that other people will come to know the love of Jesus like I have. And so God has to get us over ourselves to do that. So when everything is going really good and really smooth and really easy, we have a tendency to get self-confident. Sometimes we even have a tendency to start thinking that I'm just a little bit more spiritual than the next guy. Because look at all the problems he's having. And look how good life is. Well, God's been good to me. How many know that God is good to everybody? Even the unsaved, He's good to them too. It's not because you're so good, it's because He's so good. And we all have a different cup to drink. So don't judge your brother, don't judge your sister because they're going through something, amen? You just wait a little while. And you'll say, well, I've learned not to be so judgmental. Why is it that the church today, much of the church, does not proclaim the kingdom of God to the lost in this way with power? Are we afraid that maybe the God of Elijah will not answer with fire after we pray? Are we afraid that public embarrassment may be too great for us to step out like Elisha did, to pick up the mantle and say, as he beat the water, where is the God of Elijah? Well, you see, if we're worried about being embarrassed, it means we're too full of ourselves. That's the problem. If we're all about, how will I look? Or what? You know, sometimes, folks, let's face it, we struggle with this flesh. This flesh wants to be seen and heard and acknowledged as being something great. And, you know, and so in order to be a servant of God, we have to be like Jesus, who made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant. Because God gives his grace to the humble. The humble are the ones who know, I can't do this without him. And sometimes when we're new Christians, we're all excited, things are happening in our lives, you know, but we're still very full of ourselves. We just don't realize it yet. Until God starts turning the heat up. And he starts bringing out that ugly side of you, and you're like, oh, that's still there. That habit, that ugly temper, whatever it might be. As we know, we get start getting self-confident. God has to bring us, he has to give us a little attitude adjustment. So they can get us back into the proper place so that we can be user-friendly again and make it about him and not us. Yeah. Oh, I tell you, folks, even as this church grows, and it is growing, you know, we have to be careful that we don't get proud and we don't start to think, oh, look what we did. Because it ain't about us. And it's what God wants to do. Amen. But what happens is that does happen sometimes. And even with ministers, they get big-headed. And then they fall. As soon as we start getting proud, and as soon as we start shifting away from focus on him to self, we're vulnerable to the enemy to take us out. Acts 8:6, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. 1 Thessalonians 1:5, but our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Now, I want to say this again, because the power of God is not given to validate us. See, sometimes because we're broken people, we're unhealed, and maybe we've lived a life of just being a nobody, or we've been told that all of our lives. And sometimes people think, well, if I can just get this title or this position or this power, come on, somebody, then now all of a sudden I'm going to start feeling like somebody. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I think you just got healed. But, you know, and then we want these things because we want to be validated. And we want to be validated by the wrong source, by the world, by people. We as parents should validate our children because we are to be an example of the Father towards us. Amen? So we should validate our children, but we should not seek validation from others, but from who? From God himself. That's why the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He was validated by the Father. That is the same source we need to receive our validation. Because if you're seeking validation from people, you will compromise the will of God. If you seek the validation from God, then it doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say. You're on a mission. You know who you are in him. You know Papa's got your back. He's commissioned you. He's given you authority in his name. And if people like you, great. If they don't, it doesn't matter. I'm still going to serve the Lord. Amen? That's why a lot of preachers, they compromise. They don't speak about sin. They don't talk about the devil much because, well, people don't want to hear about that. And I want everybody to like me. So they'll come to my church and pay their tithe. Ooh. Ooh. Well, we're going to give the... I better not use the word Joneses because they're here. We're going to put Joneses on the board because they're big givers. Mm-hmm. The Joneses ain't saved. They live like the devil. But I think this is not a good time for an altar call right now. But what do? We do this for Jesus. Amen. And it can't be about us anymore. Because as long as we're in the way, God can't work through us in power. I'm talking about authentic power. Now, demonic power is another thing. Now, some people, even in the name of Jesus, but they're actually serving a different master altogether. Why? Because they are their own master. They are their own God. They decide what they're going to do, when they're going to do, how they're going to do it. They're not acknowledging God. They're building a kingdom for themselves. Why? Because they want a name for themselves. It's because they're seeking their validation from people and not from God. You get it? Enough said, right? We've got to find that validation at His footstool. Our Father is the one who says, "This is my son. You are my daughter. You are greatly loved, blessed, and highly favored." And that's all I need to know, is God loves me. The most important things, folks, is not signs and wonders and miracles. Even though, as His people, that should be our way of life. Because God is supernatural. There should be signs and wonders and miracles in our lives and through us. But if we are putting our confidence in ourselves, that doesn't happen because wrong focus. There's no grace that I can give people that will save. As a matter of fact, the grace I give myself won't save me. Well, it's all right. It's not that bad. What does God say about it? Did God say it's okay? If God says it's not right, it's not right. God's the only one that can give us the grace that saves. And this grace is received by the humble. The humble are the ones who say, "God, I am a lost sinner. I am in need of your mercy. Please forgive me." And He does. Not only does He forgive, but He justifies. The most important thing is that we get right with God and that others get right with God. And we also need to be careful that we don't neglect the gift of God that's within us by the Holy Spirit. I'd ask you to raise your hand today, but I don't want to. You don't need to. But ask yourself the question, am I doing what I am called to do? Or am I neglecting the gift of God within me? How many know there's going to be an accountability of what we've done with what we've had? The divine deposit that God gave us, the divine money that He deposited into us, we will give an account of what we've done with the gifts that He's given us. How many know that these gifts are not just for us, but they're to give away? Because we need to follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made Himself of no reputation. He came to serve. He wasn't there to be served. He didn't need the accolades of men. He didn't need people to validate Him. Amen. He says, "I'm only going to do what I see my Father doing. I'm only going to say what I hear Him say." And if I make the Pharisees mad, come on, there's a lot of Pharisees today in the church too. And they get challenged sometimes by the truth because they had a lot of information. They had a lot of knowledge. They knew the word. They could quote the scriptures. But they didn't have any substance. They didn't have the substance which was Christ. They didn't have any power. And the gospel that we preach today is not in word, but in power. The gospel must be preached by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that word, amen, can reach and touch and heal and deliver. captive souls. That's what God has sent us to do, to set the prisoner free, to declare the kingdom is here. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Father God, thank You for everything today, Lord. Thank You for the truth that sets us free. Lord, keep us close to Your heart. Watch over, protect each one of us, Lord. Guard us, Lord. Keep us in Your peace, Your perfect peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, make us a blessing in this world, Lord, that out of our lives, Lord Jesus, You would shine. And You said, Lord, to let our light shine to the degree that people will take note. And that we've been with You, Lord. So bless and keep us as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' name, amen.